Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidina wa Habibina wa Mulana Muhammad Al-Nabiy al-Mujahid al-Shahid Wa ala alihi wa ashabihi Al-Ladhina saru sayrahu wa jahadu fi Allahi haqqa jihadi Hatta atahumul yaqeen amma ba'd. It was the morning of the 5th of Rajab, 15 years after Hijrah, when the Roman army advanced in 20 very long rows. They raised their crosses. Together with them they had their priests, their monks, which shows that they regarded this to be a religious war. They felt it to be an attack against Christianity. The leaders took pledges of death, and 30,000 of the Romans chained themselves. 10 people in one chain. So this will keep them firm and prevent them from fleeing from the battlefield. The Muslim spirits were very high. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made them very brave. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had strengthened their hearts. They came out as per the arrangement that was already decided and arranged by Sayyidina Khalid radiallahu anhu. The same formation that he had arranged previously, they came out according to that. Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu anhu walked through the lines of the army, encouraging them, Ya ibadallah, unsurullah yansurkum, O servants of Allah, help the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will help you, wa yuthabbit aqdamakum, and Allah will keep your feet firm. فَإِنَّ وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقٌّ. The promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is true. Here again, the yaqeen of sahaba radiallahu anhum on the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the promise of Allah, in tansurullah yansurkum. That if you have to help the deen of Allah, Allah will help you and assist you. So our yaqeen has to be on this. That as long as we will work for the sake of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will secure the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mu'az radiallahu anhu also walked through the rows, also encouraging. He says, Inna rahmatallah wallahi la tunal, wa jannatahu la tudkhalu bil amani. He says that the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot be achieved, and the jannat of Allah cannot be entered into just by having mere hopes. Mere hopes and aspirations will not allow a person to secure the help of Allah and the jannat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا يُؤْتِ اللَّهُ الْمَغْفِرَةَ وَالرَّحْمَةَ الْوَاسِعَةَ إِلَّا الصَّادِقِينَ الْمُصَدِّقِينَ بِمَا وَعَدَهُمُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not give His forgiveness and His vast mercy except to those that are true and those that have conviction in the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he recited the ayat of the Quran Majid, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. The gist of the ayat is Allah's promise for those that believe in Allah and do good deeds. Allah's promise is that Allah will give them dominance and Allah will give them power in the land. Thereafter he says, أَنْتُمْ إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهُ مَنْصُورُونَ. Inshallah, you will be helped and assisted from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you should be embarrassed to flee from the battlefield while Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is seeing you fleeing from the battlefield. Similarly, Amr bin As radiallahu an moved around giving advice as well as directives to the army on how they should be fighting. Sayyiduna Abu Sufyan radiallahu an was in Medina Munawwara. He was not part of the initial armies that came to Sham. His son Yazid bin Abi Sufyan radiallahu anhuma was one of the commanders. His other son Muawiyah radiallahu anhu was also part of the army, but he was in Medina Munawwara. He had requested Umar radiallahu anhu that I want to go, allow me to go and to join the Muslim army. And one of the purposes of him coming, he says that I will encourage them and I will motivate them. So Umar radiallahu anhu was very happy that he wants to go to Sham, and he allowed him to come to Sham. So during this battle, Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu, this was his primary responsibility, to encourage and motivate the Muslim army. So he would go to every battalion, encouraging them. فَلَا وَاللَّهِ لَا يُنْجِيكُمْ مِنْهُمُ الْيَوْمِ وَتَبْلُهُونَ رِضْوَانَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا بِصِدْقِ اللَّهِ وَالصَّبْرِ فِي الْمَوَاطِنِ الْمَكْرُوهَةِ. He says, the only thing that will protect you and save you today from your enemy, and the only thing that will allow you to attain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that you have to be true and you have to be truthful when you are facing and encountering your enemy. And you need to persevere in difficult situations. Ala innaha sunnatun lazima. He says that this is a binding system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that when a person remains firm in the face of the enemy, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help that person and Allah will bless that person with his pleasure. And then he would make dua, Allahumma inna hadha yawmun min ayyamik, Allahumma anzil nasraka ala ibadik. Oh Allah, this is one of your special days. One of those special days, oh Allah. So oh Allah, send down your help upon your servants. Then Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu goes to the back of the army. He sees there was a high place where women were standing, Muslim women, those that were accompanying the army, they were standing on that high place. So Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu arranges for stones to be brought. And then he says to the woman that if you see any Muslim fleeing from the battlefield, then take these stones and throw it upon them and rebuke them for running away from the battlefield. In this way you will motivate them to go back into the battle. Then Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu, he called out, Ya ma'ashara ahli al-Islam, hadara ma taroon. Oh Muslims, you can see the army that has come. فَهَذَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَالْجَنَّةُ أَمَامَكُمْ. In front of you is Jannat. And in front of you is meeting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Meaning if you are blessed with shahadat, then today you will meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Jannat. وَالشَّيْطَانُ وَالنَّارُ خَلْفَكُمْ. And Shaytan and Jahannam is behind you. If you have to flee from the battlefield, then you will end up in Jahannam. Khalid radiallahu anhu came to Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu, seeing this massive army advancing towards them. At that time, according to the formation, the horsemen, the cavalry were in front of the army. So Khalid radiallahu anhu comes to Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu, and he says to him that you can see the size of the enemy that's coming towards us. If the cavalry, if the horsemen are going to be in the front, they will bear the brunt of the attack. The most fierce attack will come onto the horsemen. So he says that I feel that the horsemen should come to the back. And I will split the horsemen into two. One behind the right wing, one group behind the right wing, and the other behind the left wing. If the Muslims manage the offensive, they manage to remain firm against this major offensive, then alhamdulillah. But if they do not manage to counter and to remain firm in the face of this offensive, and if they are dispersed, then the horsemen can attack from behind. By then the enemy will already be, their steam will be gone, and then the horsemen will attack, and inshallah we will be able to disperse the enemy. Then he also says to him, he also suggests to him, he was in the front of the center of the army, so he says you should move to the back of the army. Appoint Sa'id bin Zayd radiallahu anhu at the front, and you go with approximately 300 soldiers at the back, and you should be a support for the center of the army. So Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu was very pleased with these suggestions of Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. Allah had blessed him with that kind of military mind. And later on, this was, looking at it from a zahiri asbab, from apparent means, this was the best move that Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu had made, and this was the secret behind the victory of the Muslims. So, whilst all of this was going on, one person who had newly accepted Islam, he comes to Khalid radiallahu anhu and he says to him, "Ma akthar al-Rum wa aqall al-Muslimin." Look at the multitudes of the Romans and how small in number the Muslims are. When Khalid radiallahu anhu heard this, this was a man whose nazar and whose focus and his yaqeen was 100% on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The enemy before him did not affect him in the least. So Khalid radiallahu anhu was upset. And he says, مَا أَقَلَّ الرُّومُ وَأَكْثَرَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. He says, it's actually the other way. The Muslims are so large in number, and the Romans are so small. Meaning, from the perspective of the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which they will secure, then the Muslims are very large in number, and the Romans are very small in number. And then he mentions a very, very important point. Another important point for us to take lesson. He says, إِنَّمَا تَكْثُرُ الْجُنُودُ بِالنَّصْرِ وَتَقِلُّ بِالْخِذْلَانِ He says that the number of the army, whether they are big in number or small in number, this doesn't depend on the number of people and individuals and soldiers they have in the army. It depends on them securing the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or being forsaken by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, la bi'adadi rijal. So, if the Muslims have secured the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they are big in number. And the Romans have been forsaken by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so they are small in number. He goes on to tell this person, Abir Rumi tukhawwifuni. Are you frightening me of the Romans? And Khalid radiallahu anhu goes to say, that if my horse was healthy, his horse was injured, his horse was fatigued because of the amount of usage, the amount of riding, the amount of fighting. So he says that if my horse was healthy, the normal horse that he would use, his personal horse, he says if my horse was healthy, then I wouldn't mind the Romans being double the size that they are now. I would have been prepared to fight against them. Whilst they were about to commence the battle, Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu was encouraging the Muslims. One person comes up to Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu from the Muslim army, and he says to Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu, Inni qad aradtu an aqdiya sha'ni, fahal laka ila Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam haja. That, O Abu Ubaidah, I wish to give my life. I wish to give my life. Do you have any message for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? They were so certain. They were so certain that shahadat will secure them. The meeting of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu says to him, that convey my salams to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and inform him, Anna qad wajadna ma wa'adana rabbuna haqqa, that we have found the promises of Allah to be true. Most probably referring to the promises of Allah regarding conquering the Roman lands. We have found those promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be true. This person goes forward and he was the first shaheed in that battle. We had mentioned one version of the incident of Jarja with regards to him coming over at night and seeing the Muslim army performing Maghrib Salah, and then he was affected and accepted Islam. Another version which appears also in the books of history is that when the rows were ready and the armies were ready to fight, then Jarja comes out from the Roman army and he requests that he wants to speak to Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. Each of them gave security and amnesty to the other. They come up in the center between the two rows, so close that the necks of their horses meet. And now Jarja asks Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, that, O Khalid, speak the truth, because a free person does not speak lies. A noble person does not speak lies. Tell me, did Allah send down a sword which He gave to your Nabi, and then that Nabi gave you that sword? So Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu says no. Because Khalid radiallahu anhu was known as Saifullah. So he says, no, this is not the situation. Khalid radiallahu anhu goes on to explain that initially when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave his da'wah, then I was from those who denied Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I rejected Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until finally I accepted Islam. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me, أَنْتَ سَيْفٌ مِّن سُيُوفِ اللَّهِ سَلَّهُ عَلَى الْمُشْرِكِينَ, that you are a sword from the swords of Allah, which Allah has unsheathed upon the disbelievers. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for me, that whenever I face the enemy, Allah must bless me with victory. Then he asked Khalid radiallahu anhu, that what do you invite to? So Khalid radiallahu anhu gave him the da'wat of Islam, the same three options: accept Islam, you will be our brother, otherwise accept to pay jizya, or the third option is that we will fight you. Then he says, he asked Khalid radiallahu anhu, that what if I accept Islam today? Will I be in the same category as you? Or it will be something different. Khalid radiallahu anhu says, in fact, in certain respects you will be even greater than us. You will be even higher than us in certain respects. He asks, what do you mean? He explains that we brought iman in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we witnessed mu'jizas. We witnessed the miracles of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you have to accept Islam and bring iman without witnessing the mu'jizas of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then obviously, from a certain perspective, then you have an additional virtue over us. Obviously, the virtue of suhbat, of being a sahabi, is far greater. But from this angle, bringing iman without witnessing mu'jizat, this is some type of virtue that you will have over us. Thereafter, he says to Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, that teach me Islam, I am prepared to accept Islam. Khalid radiallahu anhu takes him into his tent, and he pours water over him, possibly made him have a ghusl, and then he leads him in salah, two rakat salah. Two rakat salah they perform, and at that time the Romans start the attack. He joined Khalid radiallahu anhu, and he was at the side of Khalid radiallahu anhu with the horsemen, and he fought for the entire day. From approximately midday till the evening, he fought on the side of Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu very bravely. And that same day, he passed away as a shaheed, only performing these two rakats of salah. These were only two rakats of salah that he performed, and he passed away as a shaheed that day. So now the Roman army began advancing. Closest to the Roman army was the right wing of the Muslims. So they attacked the right wing first. Mu'az bin Jabal radiallahu anhu was in charge of the right wing. He encouraged the Muslims to fight against the Romans. He dismounted from his conveyance, and he preferred to fight on the ground. Sayyidina Mu'az radiallahu anhu also fought very bravely. When he would hear the priests encouraging the army and making whatever prayers they would make, Mu'az radiallahu anhu, in response, would make dua, Allahumma zalzil aqdamahum, O Allah, you shake their feet, wa ar'ib qulubahum, place awe in their hearts, wa anzil as-sakinata alayna, and O Allah, send down your special tranquility upon us, wa alzimna kalimata taqwa, and O Allah, make us firm on our iman and on our kalima, wa habbib ilayna al-liqa, and O Allah, make meeting and encountering the enemy beloved to us, wa raddina bil qada, and O Allah, allow us to be pleased with your decision. And we make the same dua for our brothers and sisters that are suffering in the world today, especially in Gaza. The same dua that Mu'az radiallahu anhu made, that through the barakah of these sahaba radiallahu anhu and their sacrifices, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the same dua for the ummah today as well. The Romans attacked the right wing of the Muslim army very fiercely, but they remained firm, and they fought very fiercely and very bravely. Then more Romans came. They came, and it was as if a mountain was coming. The amount of people, as if a mountain was coming towards them. They pushed the right wing of the Muslim army towards the center. Some of the Muslims lost ground at that time. They were pushed away, but they came back. Some were forced to move back, and they reached to where the woman was stationed. Those women, as Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu had explained, had instructed them, they take stones and they throw upon them, they rebuke them, and this forced them to come back into the battlefield. There was a lot of fighting and fierce fighting that happened on the right side and the right wing of the army. The enemy even managed to pass the Muslim rows and reach the back. Then at the same time, they also attacked the left wing. On the left wing also, a similar scenario had unfolded. They pushed them towards the center, some lost ground, and others remained firm. They even reached the back on that side. On that side, on the left wing, was Yazid bin Abi Sufyan radiallahu anhuma, who fought very fiercely. His father Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu was with him, encouraging him, his son, to continue fighting. However, the center of the army did not move. The attacks were more on the right and the left wing. The center did not have such a fierce attack. And the attack that came to them, they managed to remain firm, and they did not move. Shurahbil bin Hasana radiallahu anhu was part of those that were in the center of the army. He read the ayat of Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَيَقْتُلُونَ وَيُقْتَلُونَ. The entire ayah. where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He has bought and He has purchased the lives of the believers in lieu of Jannah. And thereafter, Shurahbil radiallahu anhu said, أَيْنَ الشَّارُونَ أَنفُسَهُمْ إِبْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِهِ. Where are those that have sold themselves in order to earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? أَيْنَ الْمُشْتَاقُونَ إِلَىٰ جِوَارِ اللَّهِ فِي دَارِهِ. Where are those that are longing to be in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Jannat? Many people gathered around him and they remained very firm. Sa'id bin Zayd radiallahu anhu was in charge of the center of the army. He fought very, very bravely. And Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu anhu was behind them, encouraging them. Whilst this was happening, the Romans had reached behind the Muslim army. Ikrimah bin Abi Jahl radiallahu anhu, a sincere sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the son of the famous, notorious enemy of Islam, Abu Jahl, he says that I fought against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on multiple occasions, and I never fled from the battlefield against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How can I flee today? And then he says, may yubayi'u alal maut. Who is there that is ready to pledge upon death, that they will pledge on my hands that they will die today for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? 400 brave Muslims take this bay'ah of maut on the hands of Sayyiduna Ikrimah bin Abi Jahl radiallahu anhu, and they fought very, very bravely in front of the tent of Khalid radiallahu anhu. All of them were wounded very severely on that day, and some of them even passed away, including Ikrimah bin Abi Jahl radiallahu anhu. The very famous incident we hear of the Ikrimah radiallahu anhu and the other two sahaba who were lying on the battlefield, and they required water, and water was brought. And then the one next to him asked for the water and requested the water. And he indicates that pass the water to the next one. And then he indicates pass it to the third one until the water came back. And all of them had lost their lives in that way, giving preference to the other over themselves. This also happened on this day of Yarmouk. Khalid radiallahu anhu, seeing what was going on, his move and his plan was that the horsemen will not engage with the enemy in the beginning. They will remain back and they will wait for this first offensive, the first attack. Allow the enemy to get tired and they will remain fresh. They will not engage in any fighting and then they will attack. So this was his plan. And as he planned, when he sees that now the Romans have cut through both the wings and they have come close to the camps of the Muslims where the women were. At that time, Khalid bin Walid radiallahu now encourages the horsemen to attack. He was on the right wing, and on the left wing was Qais bin Hubairah, the famous warrior. He appointed him on the left wing, and both of them simultaneously attacked. Jarja was with Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. Khalid radiallahu had 1,000 horsemen under his command, and he attacks the enemy very fiercely. Obviously, they were very fresh still because they hadn't engaged in any fighting. He attacks the enemy very fiercely and he disperses the enemy. Khalid radiallahu anhu went in between the horsemen, the cavalry of the enemy and the infantry of the enemy. So he cut through. He cut through coming from the side, from the right side. He cut through and he separated the horsemen of the enemy from the foot soldiers. And in this way the horsemen of the enemy find an exit route. They find an escape route. According to certain reports, after analyzing the numbers of the enemy, then it seems there were approximately 20 to 30,000 horsemen that Khalid radiallahu now separated from the rest of the army. These horsemen, when they were attacked in this way and they found an escape route, they felt that the most appropriate thing for us to do would be to flee from the battlefield. And they fled from the battlefield. The Muslims did not interfere with them. They did not intercept them. They allowed them to leave the battlefield. So this obviously made the enemy much weaker, because now all the horsemen were gone out of the battlefield. It was only the foot soldiers that were there. Khalid radiallahu anhu, he encourages the Muslims to attack. He attacks from the right. Qais bin Hubairah rahimahullah attacks with his horsemen from the left. Now the center of the army, which was still quite firm, they also attack. Those that have lost ground, they come forward. Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu shouts, Ya Nasrallahi iqtarib, Al-Thabata, Al-Thabata, Ya Ma'ashara al-Muslimin. O help of Allah, come. Remain firm, O believers. And in this way, the Muslims attack very, very fiercely against the enemy. And when they launch this attack, this very strong attack, they push them back. And behind them, as we had discussed, was that gorge, that canyon, that they used to keep them firm so that they will not escape. This turned against them. Allah made it such that this turned against them as they were being pushed back. They began falling into that gorge. They began falling into that gorge. Those 30,000 of them or more that were chained, now they began falling in. So they chained themselves so they will not flee from the battlefield. This worked against them. Because if one or two of them fell in, all of them will not be able to remain on the top. They also fell in. Like this, those two or three that fell down, they dragged the remainder in. And thousands of the Romans began falling to their peril and their destruction. On the next day, Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu sent a Sahabi to go and estimate the amount of Romans that fell into this gorge. The estimate was 80,000 Romans fell to their peril and destruction. 80,000 of them fell in this way. It was either misty or it was nightfall. So they could not see what was happening. They could not see that the ones in front of them are falling in. They were being pushed by the Muslim army. And as they were being pushed, more and more of them fell. During combat and during the fight, the Muslims managed to kill approximately 50,000 Romans. So from the army of 200,000, a very powerful army, 80,000 fell to their destruction, 50,000 were killed. That night, it was a very dark night. The next morning they wake up and they see there are no Romans left in the valley. So they felt perhaps they are lying in ambush somewhere, trying to ambush us. So they go and make inquiries and they ask the shepherds that what happened, where are the Romans? The shepherds say that at night, the remainder of them ran away from here. Now there was no escape route, because the Muslims were on the escape route, which meant that they had to go through very difficult terrain and very dangerous gorges and very dangerous mountain passes in order for them to leave there. But in this way they left from the battlefield. Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anh, he continued to pursue the remnants of the Romans. And he followed them, those that were escaping. Wherever he caught up with them, he killed them. He reached up till Damascus. The people of Damascus came out. They renewed their agreement to the Muslims, with the Muslims. Here outside Damascus, there were some of the Roman soldiers that were there. They were also killed there. He continued pursuing them up till Hims. And when he reached Hims, then there, the people of Hims again came out and they renewed their agreement with the Muslims. They confirmed their peace treaty. Here Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu stops and he waits for now instructions from Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu what he should do next. Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu on his side and the Sahaba radiallahu anhu and the Muslims that were still on the battlefield, they attended to the burial of the Shuhada. 3,000 Muslims were blessed with shahadat during this battle. Inshallah we will continue. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk, wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa maulana Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.